Okay. Listen, I'm so glad that y'all are here. Let's just get right into it on today. I don't know about you, but there have certainly been, and even right now is a time in my life when I wonder, like, when are things gonna change? Right? I have some situations in my life, and I'm like, well, I don't know how long this is gonna last. Or I wonder how long it's gonna take. When exactly will it be my time to have to do to be? And I'm not really sure, but I know for a fact that, better days are ahead of me. I know that God made me a promise. Anybody holding on to a promise from God, let me see it in the chat. Amen. I know that God has made me a promise concerning my family, concerning my marriage, concerning my finances. I know that God has made me a promise concerning my life and what I can expect. And right now, what I'm experiencing is not really it. So I'm not really sure how much longer I can wait. I wish that I could get like a due date or a sell by date or a best by date or something, a delivery date, expected delivery. I love Amazon. And I love being a Prime member. One of the things I love about being a Prime member is that they tell me when I'm gonna get my delivery in a day, in 2 days. They sometimes give me the time between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. And I love that. How many of you wish that you could get the Lord to tell you the delivery date of your blessing, the delivery date of your breakthrough, what time between what and what hours, so that you could be prepared to receive it, so you would know how much longer you had to wait and you wouldn't get weary in your waiting. Do you know what I mean? How many of you, just let me know, am I the only one that wish that the Lord had, a similar system to Amazon? I wish that the Lord would give us a due date. But do you know what? We know that that is not how he works. He's just not doing it. He's not giving us, he's not telling us the time that something is going to happen. He's just telling us that something is going to happen. He's letting us know what we can expect, but we just cannot get a date or a time. Even in prayer, sometimes I'm like, okay, God, I've been here for a minute and I've been doing my little thing. And so I was wondering if you could give me an indicator of when I could expect to see things change. But I don't get it. I don't get those responses. I'm not getting that answer. Not most of the time. Most of the time, it's not that. It's coming. That's it. And so it's like, what can we do in the meantime? The best that we can do in the meantime is learn how to deal with the uncertainty of what God has told us. And so that's really what I want to talk to y'all about today. I want to talk to you about the how to deal with uncertainty. Anybody have some situations in their life right now and the outlook is uncertain? The Lord made you a promise, but the timeline is uncertain. We're going to go to the book of Mark, which is where we've been, to see what Jesus has to tell us, because Jesus is teaching them how to deal with uncertainty. He's letting them know that he's going to be leaving and he'll be coming back, but he starts to teach them about what they should be doing while they are waiting with this uncertainty. Go with me now to Mark 13. We're going to read verses 32 through 37. Jesus is getting closer to the time that he will be leaving them. He's done a lot of healing and teaching, and now his time is almost coming, right? He knows that he's getting ready, he's preparing for the cross, and he's going to be leaving them. And so he starts to prepare them for the time that he won't be with them. He's starting to prepare them for what the time and the space will be when he leaves them. He's got to start early right? You know, you can't tell a kid something one time. You got to start early and tell them often if you want it to stick. Amen. From the parents in the chat, please and thank you, right? You can't just give it to them. And so in this particular section of scripture, he is telling them to be watchful, how he's telling them and explaining to them how to wait. So let's go to it. This is in the NIV version. Hopefully you have it by now. We're in Mark chapter 13, verse 32 through 37 is what I'm going to read. But about the day or hour, he's talking about when Jesus is going to return. When Jesus is talking about when he's going to return. He hasn't even left yet. He hasn't even died yet. He hasn't been resurrected yet. And he has not ascended back to heaven. But he is telling them right now, preparing their minds, right? Getting them prepped for what will happen in the future. But about that day or hour, he's talking about when he will return, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Amen. So right here, we see that Jesus is teaching them, telling them that there's going to come a time that he's going to leave and nobody knows when he's going to come back. Even before that, he's telling them about his return, what it's going to look like. He's letting them know that people are going to come in the meantime and between time and try to distract them, right? He's letting them know that they're going to be people who are claiming to be this and claiming to be that, people who claim that they know when it's going to happen or all these things. And he's telling them here, don't be confused. Don't be set up. Don't do that. In this time of uncertainty, right? That's what he's expressing, a time of uncertainty. They don't know when it's going to happen, right? They don't know when it's going to happen. What does he teach us? Let's look at 13:32. There's some uncertainty. In 13:32, we can see that he says about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. What is he saying? Don't nobody know. There are so many things that are uncertain right now. I remember in 2020 when they were making all these predictions about what was going to be happening because of the thing that was spreading around, right? How it was going to turn out and how long it would last and what we should hope to expect, what we could expect and what we needed to do to prepare ourselves. Every news outlet, radio show, everybody that had a platform that felt led to talk about the situation that we found ourselves in, not only as a nation, but as the world, this thing that we were facing, there were so many predictions about how it would turn out. Even right now, as they say, we're getting ready to enter into a recession or we're in a recession. There's so much uncertainty about how long it will last and when things will get better, if things will get better. People are making their predictions and forecasting what the real estate thing will look like. Maybe even you yourself in your personal life, you've got some things that you know you're waiting on from God and you started to wonder, people have started to tell you that maybe it's never going to happen or it's going to happen at this time. It's going to take 3 months, 12 months. You're trying to figure out how long it's going to take you to get that business off the ground. How long is it going to be before your business is self-sustaining and you're able to take care of yourself, before you're able to invest? You're wondering how long it's going to be that you'll be in debt. You're wondering how long it's going to be before you get to find out that you're carrying a baby. You want to know how long it's going to be before you find the man of your dreams. But here's the thing. No one knows. No one knows. Jesus here is speaking specifically about his return, that no one knows the time, the day, or the hour. That lets us know that there are some things that God keeps secret for himself. that while there may be true prophets and people who are discerning and people with discernment and with experience and with data and all these other things that might be able to provide a prediction, the truth is that no one knows. You don't know, and neither does anyone else. It's uncertain. We don't know when it's gonna happen. There are some things in your life that God is keeping a secret. First and foremost, we do not know when Jesus is going to return, but that shows us a piece of God's character. That just because something is certainly gonna happen does not mean he's going to reveal to you the time or the place or the hour or reveal it to anybody else. So the first thing we want to really think about when we're in these situations and we're dealing with uncertainty is we got to stop looking for somebody who knows. No one knows. Don't nobody know. Nobody knows the time or the hour. We can stop looking frantically here and there, running around, right? Aimlessly, listlessly, not really knowing what we're doing because we're looking for somebody to tell us what only God himself knows. No one knows. That's what he's telling them. This thing is certain. He's coming back, but no one knows when the time is. We can continue to verse 33. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. He is talking to you specifically. He's saying, don't get distracted. Right? He's talking to them, yes, as a crowd, but he's telling them as individuals. Not only does no one know, but you yourself don't know. But about the day or the hour, no one knows, right? That keeps it general. We get to verse 33, be on guard, be alert. You do not know. Not only do they not know, not only generally does no one know, he's saying you, listener, his original audience, you do not know. He took it from a group thing like, oh, everybody out here, don't nobody really know, to you specifically as an individual. He's telling them, hey, you who I'm talking to, who can hear my voice, stay alert, right? Be on guard because you don't know. He's telling them, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted with complacency. Don't get distracted with whatever it is you're doing. Don't get distracted trying to figure out the time or the hour. Be on guard and be alert. What does it mean to be on guard? It means not being distracted. It means being present, being ready, right? There's something about it that implies that we are ready when I'm on guard. When I'm alert, I'm awake, my eyes are open, I'm looking from left and the right, right? I am paying attention, I am present. Stay alert and be on guard so that you don't get distracted by what is going on in this world. This is what he's telling them. There's going to be so many things that are going on, so many people who are going to be falling away from the faith, but God is telling them not to get distracted. Don't be led astray. Don't get confused. Don't get lazy. Don't get complacent. Don't start to fall back. Don't start to get don't become cavalier in your waiting. Don't get so comfortable and just so laid back and chill that you are no longer paying attention. I wonder why he's telling them to be alert and to be on guard. I wonder if it has anything to do with the amount of time that might be passing between what he's telling them is going to happen and when it actually happens. I'll say it again. I wonder if the reason he is telling them to be alert and stay on guard, the reason he is telling them this is because there's going to be a certain amount of time between what he is telling them is going to happen and when that thing actually happens. I think when we know when something's going to happen, we know it's going to be in 5 minutes, or we know it's going to be an hour, or we know it's going to be in 3 days or 30 days or 5 years or 4 years, we can kind of keep our eyes on the prize. It's easier for us to stay focused. It's so great to know that Jesus really knows us and really understands, you know, the life of humanity, where when we don't know how long it's going to be, it is easy to get distracted. When we don't know how long it's going to be, we can sometimes let our guard down as if we're not waiting on something, as if we're not being called to something, right? He is telling them to be alert and to be on guard. don't get distracted or led astray. I wonder how many have been led astray so far. I wonder how many of us have not stayed alert, have not been on guard, and we've somehow allowed the enemy to come in, right, and catch us off guard. We've allowed the enemy to come in and take us off our post. We've allowed the enemy to come in and have us loosen up our values and our morals. We've allowed the enemy to come in and kind of adjust and justify, to help us justify our behavior, our perspective in this day and age, because it's been so long since Jesus said he was going to return. I wonder how many of us, women of God, women of faith, how many people in the church, listen. Just so we're clear, this message that Jesus is speaking, right? This message that Jesus is giving is for the people of God. I want to be clear here. There are some messages that were for everybody. It was a message for everybody. You know, I'm teaching you this. This message, right? When he's telling them not to be on this particular verse, be on guard, be alert. The people who are living how they want to live, they not on guard, they not alert, they not even expecting Jesus to return. They're not even looking for Jesus to return. I often wonder, one of the things I think about whenever I'm studying the Bible is like, when Jesus is giving instruction or when Jesus is telling us something, I'm always thinking like, huh, I wonder why he said that. You know, like, I wonder what made him give that particular advice at this time. And it's because it is so easy, in my opinion, for this, it is so easy for us to get distracted from the work that God has given us. It's so easy for us to get distracted from the standard. It's so easy for us to fall away from the standard that he has set in his word. This is what he is warning against. He continues in verse 34. He gives this illustration, right? It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. What is revealed here, right? What is revealed here is that what God said will come to pass. That is certain, right? It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, tells the one at the door to keep watch. Let's read to 35. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Stop right there. Because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back. This illustration, the first thing that I can see in this illustration is that there is some certainty here. I know this is about how to deal with uncertainty, but there is some certainty here. The thing that's certain is that the man is coming back. What does that tell us? That we can trust that what God said will happen. Jesus is telling them that he's going to go away, but he is going to come back. Now he's giving them this illustration. It's like a man who leaves. He does yada, yada, yada. Y'all need to stay focused and stay alert, because you don't know when he's coming back. Not you don't know if he's coming back. You don't know when. Right? So the Lord said he is going to return. They can trust that what God is saying about returning is going to happen. No matter how much time passes between my leaving and my returning, there is one thing for certain. I said I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Right? This is the thing for certain. I said I'm coming back. I'm coming back. We can see it right there in that little word, right? Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. I know that what God said is going to happen. I wonder who has a promise right now that you've started to doubt if it will happen. You started to wonder if the Lord will do what he said he would do. That's not the part of uncertainty. I know that I said I want us to talk about how to deal with uncertainty, but there's no uncertainty when God has made you a promise because he's a promise keeper. That's not the part that is uncertain. How do we deal when the timeline is uncertain, when we don't know when it's going to happen? We know it's going to happen, but what do we do when we don't know when it's going to happen? How do we behave? He's telling you the Lord is going to, he's saying right here, I'm telling you I'm coming back. I'm going to return. But in the meantime, right, while the timeline may be unclear, there is work to be done in the meantime. So before I go, I'm going to give you some work to do. Here's an assignment. I want you to be doing this. He gave each one an assignment. I want you to be doing that. He didn't necessarily give them a collective assignment. He didn't give them all the same assignment. He put his servants in charge, each one with their assignment, each one with their assigned task. Everybody has an assigned task. It's not attached to when God is coming back, but everybody's got an assigned task. It's not attached to the promise that he made you, but there's an assigned task. There is something that you should be doing until that thing that God promised you comes to pass. Jesus is saying, I'm coming back, but until I come back, here are the things that you need to do. Be alert, stay on guard, don't be distracted. Don't get caught slipping. Don't be caught sleeping. There is work to be done. Be on the lookout. What does it mean to be on the lookout? And tells the one at the door to keep watch. What are you looking for? What would cause us to be on the lookout if not expectancy, right? Expect. Come on. While you are working, while you are doing the assigned task that God has given you, I know that he made you a promise and it doesn't seem like that promise is going to come to pass, but you can trust that what God said is going to happen is going to happen. In the meantime, in between time, since you have an uncertain timeline and you don't know when that breakthrough is going to come and you don't know when that blessing is going to come, you don't know when that promise is going to manifest itself in your life, you have been given an assignment and somebody's been told to look out. What are we looking out for? We are looking out with great expectation for the thing that God said. I know that God said he was going to restore love, honor, and respect to your marriage, but are you expecting it? Are you on the lookout for it? Come on, Jesus. Or are you still looking at the same things in the same way you were before God made you that promise, before he spoke to you? I know that the Lord told you that you were going to have a baby, but I wonder if you've lost your expectancy. I wonder if you are still on the lookout for that pregnancy test to come back positive. I know that God said that he was going to free you and heal you from anxiety and depression, but I wonder if you are expecting to have another episode, or if you are expecting to glide through a difficult situation without anxiety and depression. I know that God promised you that he was going to bless the work of your hands and he's given you work to do. I wonder if you've lost your expectancy. I wonder if you're no longer alert. I wonder if you still believe that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. I wonder if because of the timeline and because you don't know the time, the day, or the hour, if you have started to lose your expectancy. This illustration that Jesus is giving them is that there is work to be done, but don't you start chilling at work. While you're working, don't stop working, as if to imply that the thing that God said, his return, his breakthrough, that blessing, right? Your ability to overcome, the reconciling of your family, the healing for your body. Don't expect for that thing not to come because there's time. Don't get weary in your well-doing. Stay on task. Be alert. Be sober-minded. Be doing the work that he has set you to. Don't get distracted because he's going to return. So be on the lookout. That thing he said was going to happen, you can trust that it's going to happen, so we can keep our expectancy up. That's what it means. If I'm looking out, I'm expecting for somebody to return. If I'm looking out, I'm expecting that there is going to be something. 1335 say, stay expectant until it comes, because the wind might be uncertain, but it actually happening, there's no uncertainty there. The when is something going to happen? That might be uncertain, but you can keep your expectancy, keep that up, stay on the lookout because it's actually going to happen. It could be any time. So don't get caught, as they used to say, slipping. Don't get caught slipping. Don't get caught sleeping on the job. He continues in verse 36, if he comes suddenly, right? If the way that he comes is suddenly, without warning, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Now, I just want to give a quick disclaimer here. He's not talking about they shouldn't sleep at all, that they shouldn't rest. Even though Jesus might not have used the terminology, don't get caught slipping. That's really what he's saying. Don't get caught sleeping on the job. Sleep when it's time to sleep, right? But there's a time where it's time to work. And he's talking about, because he's talking about the return of Jesus, he's really talking about here this, you know, this idea of being spiritually sleeping, right? Sleeping morally. Let him find you sleeping on your morals and your values and the standards that he set. Don't let him come back and find that you haven't kept up what he gave you, the expectation that he set for you, the standard that he set for you, right? Because you could be caught off. If you do that, you could be caught out, wilding out somewhere, not on task, not living the way that he's called you to live, right? The standard that he set, you could be caught off guard. He could catch you sleeping. Don't let him find you slipping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. While we are waiting, he's talking about the return of Jesus. While we are waiting on Jesus to return, I'm going to go back to the original text and the original meaning of the text before we get back into this application, right? While you're waiting on Jesus, Jesus is saved. Don't fall off from the values and the standards that I've set while I was here because you're waiting, right? You understand that there's a way that we are called to live, set apart because we are holy and righteous. You understand that there is a will of God that we are to stand in. There's an expectation for studying and applying the word, living according to God's word, and not getting loose because we're waiting on Jesus to return and so much time has passed. So I want to set that up first and foremost. First and foremost, right? I love to talk about how it applies to your family and to your life and how it applies to your business because I have a heart for entrepreneurs. I love to talk about that. Let's just back it up real quick, real just for a second, and know that this first lesson, the very first lesson that we're doing is while we're waiting on the return of Jesus, are you studying and living according to the word of God? Stay alert. Stay on guard. Don't get caught sleeping, right? Are you first living separate, different, living in the world, but not of it? Are you studying and living according to the word? I put in that word studying because I think a lot of times, because we're Christians, somebody says, are you living according to God's word? We immediately say things like, yeah, I'm not perfect. You know, yeah, it's a work in progress. Yes, but the Lord ain't done with me, right? And I think that's interesting because what I found is that there are so many Christians who are in church, who are part of the Christian community that aren't studying their Bible. And so I wonder how we could even begin to live our life according to the word of God as we wait on Jesus's return when we don't know what his word says. We know what the pastor said his word says. And we know what the Bible study leader says his word says. We know what, you know, all these pastors who have all these, you know, YouTube channels, we know what they say the word says. But we, as people of God, as individuals, we're required to live according to the word. And if there is a misinterpretation, whether intentional or unintentional, and we just accept that, God is not bound by that misunderstanding of his word. Right? We are called to live according to his word. As we wait for Jesus to return, we are to walk, right? This walk of faith, modeling our lives after the example that Christ made. But I didn't live during the time of Christ. So since I didn't live during the time of Christ, without getting in the word, I cannot model my life after the way he lived his life. I cannot make adjustments to my mindset, to my perspective, my attitude, my words, how I'm living, how I'm interacting. I can't make adjustments so that they emulate Jesus the Christ if I'm not in the word of God and not just looking at it for 5 minutes. If this is something I'm going to model, the expectation is that I'm modeling my life after him until he returns. How can I do that if I'm not in the word? I want to talk present day for a moment. You know, I want to talk not just in how you're living your life and studying your word. I want to talk a bit about, you know, your assignment. Jesus is so good. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Each with their assigned task. That means that you have an assigned task. Are you working? Are you doing your assigned task? Are you at the post that God has given you? Have you put your hands to the work that the Lord has assigned to you? You've been given an assignment. And even though you don't know when your breakthrough is going to come, because God made you a promise, even though you don't know when your blessing is going to come, because God spoke to you in his word, you don't know when those things are going to happen. You're not just sitting around. With your head in your hand, blinking your eyes. I don't even know how to twiddle your thumbs. Twiddling your thumbs, waiting on the Lord to come back, waiting on the breakthrough, waiting on the blessing. Now you have work to do in the meantime, in between time. I know that God promised you some healing, but in the meantime, in between time, he gave you an assignment. Are you on your post? I know that you're waiting for the Lord to change things in your marriage, but in the meantime, in between time, he gave you a task. Are you on your post? I know that God made you a promise about your business, about your ministry. Come on, he's talking to me. But are you on your post? Are you doing the assignment? Are you working on the assignment that you've been given? And I think sometimes we just want a singular thing, and staying alert morally, spiritually, being on guard, guarding your heart and your mind, so that you are not led astray, so you can keep this assignment, and that when the Lord comes, he finds you working. When the Lord comes, he finds you on your post. When the Lord returns, he finds you ready. When the blessing comes, it comes to a place that's ready. One of the things that I think is so interesting is that there are businesses that went out of business or that struggled because they were blessed, right, with so many clients, so many customers, so many orders, but they weren't prepared. They probably prayed for it. You know, they probably, how many of you are praying for a blessing, praying for a breakthrough that you're not yet ready for? How many of you are praying for a spouse, but you have some unresolved trauma and hurt and trust issues and people issues that you are not addressing, that you are not working on? So if you were blessed today, right, if you got that blessing right now, you would not be prepared for it. How many of you are asking God for a financial blessing? God, you heard from the Lord. He told you in his word, you're standing on the word that you would be a lender and not a borrower. But right now you're in debt. Right now that money's not coming in, all these things. What would happen if the blessing came right now? Do you have the systems in place to steward it well? What would happen if your ministry grew overnight? Do you have the systems in place? Are you ready? Are you alert? Are you prepared? Or will that blessing, that breakthrough, when it comes due, is it going to catch you off guard? Is it going to catch you sleeping? Are you going to be unable to handle it? I wonder how many of us are working on the tasks that God gave us and being alert and on God morally and spiritually. While you're waiting, you're praying right now. Right now, you're believing God for a baby. But there's some real issues going on in your marriage right now. And the Lord said he was going to give you a baby. The baby's going to come. There's no doubt about that. But in the meantime, in between time, are you on the task of healing your marriage so that when the baby comes, doesn't catch you off guard, right? You want to spend more time. Maybe you want a baby, but your schedule right now is crazy. Your work life is crazy. Maybe you need to get to the task of clearing some things off so you're not caught off guard. Are you doing the work, the assignment? And I don't know what your assignment is. I don't know what things God has assigned you, but each with their assigned task. You have an assigned task. Are you at work on that assigned task while you're waiting on God to bring this blessing? And maybe you aren't ready for Jesus to return. Maybe you're not ready for these blessings that you're wanting and that you're hoping for, that you believe somehow by faith that God is going to bring to you, because you still don't really know Jesus. I know of him. I've been to church. You know, I like church and I'm a church person, but truth be told, I don't know Jesus for myself. And so I want to fix that. Let's fix that right now, because the word says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's what he said in his word. And so I want you to repeat after me. Father, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I now accept him as my Lord and Savior. I accept the gift of salvation right now. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for giving me an eternal life with you. Amen. Listen, if you said it and you believe it, then welcome to the family of God. We are so excited that you are here. Listen, if you have said that prayer for the first time, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Please send me an email at praise@boldfaithchurch.org. We are going to reach out to you. The care team is going to connect with you and get some resources in your hands and help you to get plugged in so that you won't start on this journey alone. It is an individual relationship with God, but we do that in community. Best done in community. So I cannot wait to hear from you. Maybe you've just rededicated your life to Christ. You've been wilding out for a little bit. You kind of fell off. You got caught slipping. You got distracted by the ways and the things of this world. And so now you're coming back into the fold and we celebrate you as well. Please send me an email, praise@boldfaithchurch.org, so that we can connect with you and get you plugged in. Now, listen, I pray that this has blessed you. If it has, be sure to like this video, share this video, comment, hit subscribe. If you're listening to this on the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating for this sermon. If it has blessed you, you can give us, listen, you can give us a 5-star rating for every single sermon that comes through, just so you know, okay? Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We are not done. Y'all know that this is just the first part of church. What puts the community in Bold Faith Community Church is that we gather as a community immediately following the sermon. Ladies, I would love to see you here on the screen. You can see the website bit.ly/boldfaithchurch. You can go there and it will direct you to the Zoom room that we are in. I'd love for you to come and connect with the other amazing women here at Bold Faith Community Church. Listen, I love, love, love you. And I will see you next time. All right. Until next time, I love y'all. Come on over to the Zoom. Join the community. Don't miss out. Don't cut out of church early. Come over there. Join us. Okay.